and welcome to the Annie Jennings PR Teleseminar Series. As you all may know, Annie Jennings PR is a national publicity firm specializing in promoting authors and experts to the media. Annie's vision and insight has revolutionized publicity as many of the techniques, tools, and strategies in widespread use throughout the industry today have been developed by Annie Jennings PR. Annie freely shares her publicity strategies with authors and experts so everyone can have access to PR strategies, both the basics and advanced PR thought, so they can share their messages with the millions for the betterment of all. So Annie has been also an invited guest lecturer for NYU's publishing program and for the American Society of Journalists and Authors.
And of course, not to cut you off, Stace, but you've been invited there with
Thank
me
you.
As well. Right?
I was actually going to add that in.
I know. Can I read her mind?
You read
what?
My mind. I actually was there
She's
with you.
In all her company, people can read each other's minds. You don't necessarily have to be communicating verbally all the time.
Right.
It's just one of the great side effects. You kind of know what the other person's thinking.
Okay, time back in so I can keep, pouring these accolades on you.
Okay.
So,
in other words, shut up.
Shut it. Okay, so Annie Jennings PR has provided over 500, at this point, probably even more than 500.
I know, it's a lot.
Publicity teleseminars for consistent standing room audience. I always thought that was funny. Yes, of course there's standing room.
That's
the
right,
phone, right,
standing room on a teleseminar. I know, but I wonder if anybody ever got that, but I know some people who say they fall off their chairs while they're listening to our teleseminars because sometimes they just find things so funny.
They are funny. Well, we do that all the time. Yeah.
So we have standing room only here. Everybody stand up.
Right, everybody stands up, right. But anyway, we reach hundreds of thousands of authors and experts all the time.
That's right, we do.
Okay?
Yeah.
And by the way, Fast Company, which everyone knows, leading business magazine, is known for identifying trends as well as movers and shakers in any industry. And Fast Company says that Annie Jennings PR is the absolute place to go to learn how to become a best-selling author. So she's really the premier publicity expert in the country with Annie's knowledge, and she is sought out by professionals and organizations every year, everywhere, every day.
You name it.
Yeah, so on
you
and so
name
forth.
It, they're knocking on the door. But, you know, yeah. I tell you, it's a process built up over a lot of years. Now, are you done with the intro? So I can
I could keep going because
our accomplishment. That's because every day we kick it up a notch.
We
and
do.
That's
what
we do
favorite.
Here.
Yeah, at all times.
Well, let me just tell them how fabulous. Stacey's a national publicist, many years experience, really one of the best publicists probably in the entire world, in that she is simply a bullet to the outcome. I mean, she's got a great eye, watches the news every day, figures out how our clients can tie into the breaking news, creates these magnificent hooks and these amazing titles for the segments, and you see our segments everywhere. They're all over the media. So it's wonderful,
Amazing.
And I thought, you know, it's not simply Annie Jennings. Annie Jennings PR, I like to say sometimes there really is no Annie Jennings. There's the Annie Jennings PR company that represents a philosophy of excellence.
Right. Yes.
Right? So it's really our company that has done all these things because of the all-heart mentality that we have. We work as a team. And we watch, and the publicists communicate, and we watch what's going on in the industry, in our industry, in our office. And when a publicist is saying something like, I just couldn't push this one through, my first question is, why? Mm-hmm. And we all think about this from a masterminding type of psychology point of view. And we discover that because we need a new tool. And what kind of new tool do we need? Well, we could need an online press kit, because we don't want to wait overnight. We don't want overnight to have to stand between, and overnight is old-fashioned now, we don't want FedEx to stand between, no offense FedEx, it could be anybody, stand between me and a placement. All right, so it's important that, you know, what we do is we understand and work together as a team. Part of an all-heart company is when we're sharing information, challenges, and any concerns we have about what's going on in our industry. And then we think about, well, what is it we're really seeing? Are we seeing a new trend? Are we seeing a need for a new product? And if we are, let's develop it. So that's really one of the most important things. There's so many things in an all-heart company. First of all, it's fun. It's all fun. All heart is all fun.
Yes.
It really is. So I guess we should start with really the deliverable. A deliverable of an all heart business. So, Stacey.
Yes.
Question for you is a deliverables. Mm-hmm. One of the features or business principles of an all-heart business is that of deliverables. And really, deliverables, are you finding that to be the number one client concern when you are talking to clients about doing business with us or media placements we have for them? Do they ask you the question, but they may not say it exactly like this, but do they ask you things like, well, what's in it for me?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Of course they do. They want to know that the service that they are, you know, that they're using or buying into or what
have
you.
Sure, purchasing a delivery.
You know, it's going to deliver an outcome. I mean, mm-hmm. they're doing it for a reason. They have objectives, and they need to know that the deliverables of whatever service may be, if we're talking about all heart in any business, you know, what the deliverables, if they're going to fall into line with what their objectives are, you know, and that's a really important question for them to ask, and it's important in an all-heart business to be aware of what those deliverables are, because you don't want to ever lead people down the wrong road.
Yeah, so one of the things of an all-heart business, some of the things now to just get in here, to start with some of the verbiage now we're going to be talking about, a deliverable is an important thing. What are your clients actually buying? What are they getting for their money? Now, I have a little example that I like to use, because a deliverable at a car dealership obviously is the car, right? But the implied deliverable is that the car will actually work and provide a set of services that you're actually purchasing.
Unless you go into, like, you know, the buy a wreck place,
but,
you know, I mean, then you know what the implied deliverable is.
Or
you're buying a wreck.
Or
right?
Rent a wreck. I actually rented a wreck the other day.
I actually rented a
car.
Yeah.
Did I tell you the story?
No, but remember, we have one brain, so I probably know it already.
Well, I rented a wreck, but not intentionally. I rented it from a reputable car service. I got it to my driveway, and that's it. That's where it stayed. It never started again. So then I thought,
right.
Okay, so this is great. So I bought. Now, here's the thing is, are they going to not charge me? Because I did actually, now, here, think about this. I actually took delivery of the rental. I drove it to my driveway, and it never would move from my driveway again. Okay, so I actually took delivery of the car. So in essence, right, they gave me what I got, what I paid for. I got a car. But did I get the implied value of the car? Did I even get the implied deliverable of the car? Absolutely not. Now think of it this way. If you buy a car but it can't drive you anywhere, it just sat in your driveway, you certainly got the car, the deliverable, but did you get the benefit of the car? So you bought a car, but most importantly, you bought an implied deliverable that the car was going to get you somewhere. So not only now do you have to know your deliverables, you have to know your implied deliverables. What do the clients actually receive that can help them mm-hmm. be more successful, get more clients, achieve their goals, and achieve their dreams? All right, so that's really the most important thing, is to understand these two things, a deliverable and implied deliverable. So now you want to start looking at your business model and say, okay, what am I delivering to my clients, and what is the implied deliverable? All right? Not enough to deliver the car. You got to make sure the car can drive.
Right. Now let me ask you this. What happened? Did you call? Did you tell them that you really rented a wreck?
Oh gosh, the funniest thing happened. You're gonna love this.
Well, this is important, because if we're talking about a business with all heart.
All right.
Right.
So,
I mean, how did this business respond to your crises?
They were really all heart before I put my money down. They were like, yeah come on in. We have plenty of cars. Could have called in advance.
Right.
I'm a little like obsessive compulsive. I'm not gonna go down there and not have a car. Yes, I want to rent a car. Do you have one there? I didn't say. Do you have one there that can drive?
Now you know, right? Cookies without sticks.
I know.
Now we know.
Funny story about cookies without sticks, people. Let me tell you. Or ordering it. We ordered a strawberry shortcake once.
Right.
And because we forgot to say, please include the strawberries, they just gave us the shortcake. And they said, oh, no, if you want strawberries on your strawberry shortcake, you actually have to ask for them.
With strawberry. Can a strawberry shortcake with strawberry? But see, these are really funny things. And
it's
this is all, they're all examples.
They're all examples of a no-heart
deliverable.
Business.
Right, no-heart.
So anyway, I get this call, and I call back, and I say, and you know what, for me, it's not that much money. It's a couple of $100. Okay. So I know when to fight and when to just chill. And I said to them, before renting the car, everything was great, and they couldn't treat me any better. They wanted my business. And I was thankful for that. It's a neighborhood business, too, by the way.
Right, yeah.
And, right, mm-hmm. you know the one.
And, I do. I think I've seen some very often.
I called back and I called him while I was sitting in my driveway, not being. I said, by the way, I'm sitting in my driveway. I can't go anywhere. Fine, no problem. And the whole thing goes on. So I called back and I said, I just want to, you know, they picked up the car. They had to send a tow truck, and all of a sudden, it was not his problem.
Right.
He goes, well, I gave it to her. I gave it to the lady, and she'll get back in touch with you. I said, yeah, but I'm going to request as a customer that you don't charge me for the rental of the vehicle because I didn't actually receive the use of the vehicle. And he goes, well, that's her department. Now, he never identified her, never identified
right.
who the lady was, and never took any personal responsibility for the fact that I got a car that didn't run. All right, so it's very interesting now. Now I look on my statement, I see they haven't charged me as yet. I said to him, I said, would you tell her, by the way, that the customer requests absolutely no charges due to the inconvenience, et cetera, et cetera. So I figured, let's just see what happens here. But it was very funny that when you want to, now here's the hard part, the all hard part. It runs throughout the entire business. It should. All hard is great when a client wants to do business with you. They're anxious. I'm anxious to rent that car. I was desperate. I needed it.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was nice to me. The deliverable was I got a car. I didn't get the implied deliverable that it would run. But then as soon as there was a problem, he disappears, and all of a sudden it's quote-unquote her problem.
Right.
Or her is.
Yes.
All right. So
yeah,
we have
no
a
hard.
Name for those people. We're going to tell you what that name either is later because you're going to love the way we identify these people. All right. Meanwhile, though, when you're developing an implied deliverable, Stacey, now this is the important part. You're the expert.
Okay.
We have coaches on the lines today. We have medical professionals on
mm-hmm.
the lines. We have other publicists on the lines. We have people who provide basically services, okay,
mm-hmm.
and products too, but services are key. We're all of us in our service business. We're providing something that someone else needs. Someone else needs to be successful, whether it's products or books. It's always something to drive them forward in their life mm-hmm. and their business. Now, we are the experts.
All
so
right.
It's up to us to create the products or services that
mm-hmm.
help our clients achieve their desired outcomes. So remember, clients will look to you as an expert to guide them towards their goal. Right, they want to spend money on what counts. They want to invest. So clients, let's assume one thing: clients want to spend their money, but they want to invest their money. That's the difference. So spending is considered, you know, an expense like groceries or something. An investment is an investment in your future. So they want to invest their funds, and they trust you, the expert, right,
mm-hmm.
to provide services that reflect that investment mindset. That is, when a client comes to you and they just say, these are these set of accomplishments I would like to achieve, your mind as an expert, having a lot of experience, you've seen many, many clients over the years, you've placed thousands of media placements in our case, we understand what our clients are asking us for, and we know and develop products over the years that will help them get to their outcomes. So if we use PR as an example, we've built our all hard business in many ways, and we're revealing the ways as we go forward to our through our teleseminar. But first of all, we understand our clients and their goals and their desired outcomes, and our experience tells us how to get our clients their desired outcomes. So we created products that act like a machine gun to the outcome?
An arrow to the outcome?
Now you see how that works.
Shot?
Yeah, think of one shot. Yeah, one shot. That's good. Okay, so all hard PR. The expert has to take it up. It's their responsibility for the expert, all right, to understand the needs of the clients, what they really want to achieve, to, from their experience, create strategies that they know delivers that outcome. The client doesn't understand what radio gives them or
mm-hmm.
what buying a particular coaching service gives them. It's up to the coach to define the set of implied deliverables, all right, and then to create products and services that act as an arrow to the desired outcome. Now, does that sound simple or what? It is simple.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's obviously just a matter of knowing what you do.
Right, but it's
knowing mm-hmm. what you do in terms of being cutting edge in your industry, I think, is
right.
really an important part of it,
but
too. Like
the opposite.
Saying.
What's the opposite of that? The opposite is having no clue what your clients want, only
yes.
caring about
right.
what you want. Okay? It's
yes.
okay. If you fall into the opposite category, that's why you're here today. Because one thing about us, we're not going to judge anyone. We want you to understand an all-heart business principle so that for the betterment of all, everybody can achieve their goals. And there's some old-fashioned strategies out there that have people still trying to take more than they give. Well, that's not going to happen in an all-heart business. The opposite of an all-heart business is someone who has no clue who their clients are and what they want, what their goals and desired outcomes are. They don't know how to get their clients their desired outcomes because they've never been challenged to actually say, we're only going to pay you if you get this desired outcome, which is another huge benefit of our company. Again, the pay-for-placement business model forces you to say, if I want to get paid and I want to stay in business, I have to get my clients their desired outcomes. Therefore, I have to know their goals and dreams, and I got to know which deliverables, which media placements give them the desired outcomes they want. It's that circle. So you have to be, you have to realize that you have to have that passion inside of you that really drives you forward in trying to create the best product you can for your client that helps them achieve their goals and dreams. And then some people, then the opposite of all-heart PR or all-heart business is the products are created because the creator of the products thinks their market needs them but has no proof. And the proof is when people buy the products.
Mm-hmm.
If people are not buying the products, they are very politely saying thanks, but no thanks. You want that feedback. You want to put something out there and have absolutely nobody buy it because it tells you you're absolutely wrong with what the marketplace wants. You've got to know what your marketplace wants in order to be successful. Key ingredient in knowing. Frontline PR, we're going to get to this a little later, but you know, you must be in your client's world, all right? You really, really have to understand what the client wants. But here's another counter example of an all-heart business, and we use the PR. The retainer-based PR model, they sell the outcome of the hope of a media placement, right? They're selling the process of PR, calling, pitching, sending, but not the actual attainment of a media placement or a media goal. So the deliverable here is nothing. Or the deliverable is something, but who knows? My car might drive, or might not. I might not even get a car. You know, here's a good analogy. What if I went into a car place and I said, here's my $30,000, which is your general cost of retainer-based PR for several months, right, how they set things up, and you hand them over your $30,000, and you say, and you get a contract, and the contract says they're only going to try to get you a car, and that the car, well, if they got it, may or may not drive, but that's not their problem. They're only being hired to get you the car. That's all. And if they didn't get the car, you don't have to pay them anyway. So they're hired to try. All right? So there you go. So it becomes your problem. The fact that you went into a contract saying that you're going to try to get me this, and whether or not you get me this, I'm still going to pay you, it becomes your problem, the consumer's problem. It's not their problem because they did what they say they were going to do. They tried, and they'll prove it to you.
Mm-hmm.
They'll prove that they tried, but see, the problem is you walk away with absolutely nothing. So that's an example of an opposite of an all-heart business. There's nothing in it for the client. So when the client asks the question, which they deserve to ask, what's in it for me? The result of that is very uncertain. Okay? The PR campaign may work or it may not. The mm-hmm. clients have not received their desired outcome, yet they have to pay anyway. All right? So now that brings us to a fair exchange of value, of which Stacy is my little expert.
Ooh, yay. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like an all-wallet business. Sort of the all-heart.
All-wallet. Yeah,
kind of,
there should be
in a
fair
way.
Exchange of value.
Yes. There has to be, or else you're not creating, number one, a good track record. I mean, that's something I think that an all-heart business is really, really, stands to gain all the time, regardless of, giving your deliverables and so on and so forth. I mean, you always have that word of mouth. If someone feels good when they walk away from working
right.
with you, that just grows and grows. It's like, you know, the gremlins after midnight when you get water on them. It just doesn't stop.
It doesn't stop.
It just doesn't stop.
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
You cannot put a price on the value of positive word of mouth. You really cannot.
Right.
Think about what we're doing so far. We're setting mm-hmm. it up for you so your all-heart business automatically generates the byproduct and the benefit of positive word of mouth because you're only selling what your client wants based on your experience in the industry, based on what they tell you they want and what you know they can buy to get them what they want.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Who's on first?
Right. Well, we follow that. You followed it. Yeah, fair exchange of value. Right. And that's exactly what we're talking about, because a fair exchange of value really is when both parties are just feeling great about the relationship and they're happy and they want to do more business. I mean, if your client is paying for a service
mm-hmm.
or a product, there has to be that fair exchange of value. Your service has to be, and in your experience, you can determine this, but it should be priced according to the benefits that are going to be received by the client. If you know your deliverables and you know your implied deliverables, then you know the value. You
mm-hmm.
know what they're going to be getting. And it also the pricing should definitely reflect your experience and your talent.
That's right.
You're going to be going into the
Good.
Car dealers, okay,
Good
so you're
point.
Going into Rent-A-Wreck. Okay, already you know.
Already I know.
Already you know, maybe not high quality as mm-hmm. when you go into, like, Enterprise or someone who, you know, has that reputation, you know, and I'm just picking them out of the air. I don't really know what their reputation is.
No, that's not the one I went to, so I'll let you get away with Enterprise.
Okay, well, whatever, you know. I mean, you go to a good one, you know, when you go to, you know that Hertz is going to do a good job for you. I mean, just based on reputation.
Yeah,
so, right. And it's really, really important. So when you're giving that fair exchange of value, I mean, you're just growing and growing and growing, and you really don't even know that you're growing.
And here's the thing. Both parties should be happy about the price paid. Now, your experience and your reputation and, your deliverable set your price point, and then your client needs to appreciate that price and understand that they are getting the value. It's an equal value situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember one thing. All of us have had this experience. Negotiation is one thing, but have you ever noticed that negotiators lose in the end?
Always.
Yes. They may not have paid full price for the service, but they're also going to not receive anything value added. Why? Because they've not acknowledged and may not understand the principle of a fair exchange of value in a pricing model. Once the fair exchange of value is created, then you can load up your clients with huge value-added programs of educational materials, freebies, teleseminars, audios, materials, and other things that you might ordinarily sell or other people ordinarily sell, but you give for free. Why?
Because you have created
that fair exchange of value.
And you feel appreciated.
Oh, my
God.
And
you appreciate
it.
And people
course.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not, you know, nickel and diming everything, you know.
Right.
I mean, I think a big factor in an all-heart business, regardless of what it is knowing that value exists not only in money. It doesn't exist only in money. It exists in, you know, in the relationships that you're building, in the,
mm-hmm.
again, I always go back to the word of mouth, because I can't tell you how many times I talk to someone, I'll pick up the phone, it's my first time talking with them, and they are so ecstatic
mm-hmm.
to hear
Thank
from
you.
Someone at Annie Jennings PR. It really, really is wonderful. So you automatically feel that appreciation for in our business and what we do. And so in any business, you know, that's where you want to be. You want to be, you know, at the place where you answer the phone, you know, oh, hi, this is Stacy at Anything's PR. They're like, oh, my God, it's fabulous. You know, why would you not want to be the recipient of that? I mean, and that's when you know you're appreciated. And all of that goes into that whole fair exchange of value.
Really does.
Appreciating.
So once you understand your price levels, you know, sometimes you can reduce your prices, okay? Sometimes, let's say, a coaching model, you may want to go down just a tad for various reasons, okay? There may be a reason. First-time client, you want to treat them a little more specially, and you really feel they'll respond to a slight price break because you're sensing in their voice you're a tad high. See, that's judgmental things. But when someone comes in and picks, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the kind of person that does not create that energy level that you want to be working with. There's not a fair exchange of value, so it doesn't motivate you to want to go over and above board and just make their lives incredibly successful.
And it's not going to, nothing's going to be good enough anyway.
And you're never going to be good enough for
that.
Yeah, which brings us, of course, to our next topic.
Yes.
So, but in setting prices, really set them according to where you're comfortable and try to stick to your price levels because you're worth it. And as people start to see, wow, you know, I can buy cheaper, I just can't buy better. And look at all the value added, and look at her passion, look at their passion, look at their all-heart business model.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is where I want to be. Why? It resonates with who I am as well. and they understand that in order for a high-profile business, a very strong business to stay in business, we need our customers, we need our clients. And if we want to, we want all our businesses to thrive in this world, we've got to realize there must be that fair exchange of value, the right services provided at the right price. And the market gives you the answer, actually. Now, one important thing, I love this part. This is about keeping the positive energy in your company. Stacey.
Yeah.
What is
probably one of my
favorites? How important is it?
You know what? I was getting so into the positive energy statement because I really, really, truly, with all my heart, believe in that. That, you know, when there's positivity around, you know, you put it out, it comes back to you. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's one of the keys. Absolutely, one of the keys to an all-heart business. And what you really need to do to realize whether or not you have that around, and I'll tell you what, you can realize it. You know it. You feel it. It's when you walk in the door. You know, is it positive? Is it tense? Is it negative? I mean, you can feel that, but you have to be able to recognize what's going to ruin your positive
mm-hmm.
energy
important
in your
though.
Business.
Let's
you
just,
have to figure
yeah.
that out first.
Let me just reemphasize that because,
okay.
see, we're talking about principles here.
Mm-hmm.
We just talked about fair exchange of value. Now we're going to talk about the principle of positive energy in your business, okay? Positive energy is the source, it's a very strong key in an all-heart business. Now, notice, what ruins positive energy? Give this some thought.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that ruins positive energy for you? All right, and discover the answer to this question so you can start to solve your negative energy problems, that is, wherever they're coming from, and spot bad energy before it takes hold of you. Again, in the future, we have to put just say no to bad energy. No one likes or wants bad energy in their business model because it spreads like wildflower fire throughout your company. You may already have it. We don't have it because
right.
we're all hard business. But regular companies have bad energy. They accidentally get in, these energy vampires. They get in your door, but they're not going to get in your door anymore. They're just not going to do that because you're not going to accept that for yourself. Because of the power of positive energy, you cannot have any negative energy in place. And we'll tell you a little bit more about how negative energy will flee the scene of a positive energy environment very quickly.
Get out of there quick.
Now, I wanted to talk a little bit. This is something that comes up with clients, especially in the service provider industry, is that they have some clients that are negative in nature. We have wonderful positive clients who understand the power of reinforcement, the power of support, the power of being easygoing, the power of a mutual respect for each other. But then you have the old-fashioned client, and I like to call them the old-fashioned negative client, that believes the more they pressure, the more they push, the
right.
more they demean, the more they speak to you disrespectfully, the stronger their feelings of entitlement,
mm-hmm.
the better you're going to perform for them. They say jump through this hoop, you're going to say, let me jump through two for you. All right, that's the old-fashioned business model, but there's still people out there who will approach your company and try to get that from you. That's not going to make you feel very good about working with them. There will not be a fair exchange of value, all right? A client that over-negotiates, so they've gone from a possible client to an actual burden, and the money that you receive from them anyway is not worth the money that it's actually going to cost you to service their account because they're never going to be happy. These are the early warning signs.
And the stress.
Mm-hmm.
The stress.
No stress.
Yeah, because, again, when you let the negative energy in, it does. It trickles down. It has that effect on everyone. And
well,
if you're dealing with one client in that negative
sure.
light, right?
They call it negative energy. Negative clients do obvious damage, but they also do silent damage, which is exactly what Stacey's talking about, the trickle-down
mm-hmm.
effect. They ruin the morale of your employees, for
mm-hmm.
one thing, and they
mm-hmm.
also affect your personal creativity and are a major factor in burnout for everyone down the line.
Yeah.
Just think, all day you're dealing with these people who want more and more and more. You're only as good as your last placement. You're only as good as the last coaching session. They want more and more and more. Why aren't I successful? Why didn't I sell more books?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't I, you know, get the CEO-ship or whatever we're coaching them on? Or why didn't I lose pounds? Why didn't I lose 10 pounds this week? It's your fault.
Yeah, tell me about it.
As you stand before the refrigerator every night. But, you know, you got to watch the people who have an overdeveloped sense of entitlement and also want to blame you for their own failures. They are out there. Now, what here's the best part about this whole thing is that when you start an all-heart business, you become so powerful that negative clients won't even have the courage to enter your world. They won't be pulled to your world. Your world won't resonate to them. They will intuitively know they can't pull that behavior off with you. And guess what? They won't even come to you. Your competitors will have them.
There you go. Look at that.
Let your competitors get worn down,
right?
Burned out, disgusted, right. Low creativity, could care less about business. But let it happen to them. Fine, whatever.
Yeah.
You take them. So
yeah.
You have to remember that. Now, this is where you have to take your stand. You have to say, and this will be hard to say, and we want this to be a process of moving to the positive, but at some point you must make this commitment. You must say, I'd rather go out of business than deal with negative clients. Let another negative business have them. A negative client has no place in an all-heart business. You can start to phase them out because we know who they are now. We know who you are, negative clients. But you can phase them out over time. But really, let that be a goal for yourself to just not take these people who give you that feeling when you're talking to them that you're not comfortable.
Right.
All right.
Right. And that feeling takes up space. And you, and your, and like you were talking about before, and your creativity, and in your energy, and your productivity, and your employees' productivity, and your employees' energy, and how they come across to other people that are calling into your business. I mean, it takes up space.
Mm-hmm.
So get it out.
You know,
get it out.
You know, you're smart to talk about what it does to the employee. A business owner's one thing. I mean, I'm tough. I am. I'm tough. I'm a Jersey girl. I am tough. Ask anybody. Stacy's a Jersey girl. She's tough.
Yeah.
Helen's a Jersey girl. She's tough. Sarah's a, but I'll tell you what. Sometimes when somebody's really, really mean, I look at the publicist's face and I see the hurt in their face, and it really, really breaks my heart. You know what I say to them? I say, listen, I said, think about it this way. That person has to live with themselves. When they look in the mirror, they've got that mean that mean person staring back at them, while you get to live happy, in great spirits, and in lots of fun. So immediately, the negative experience has shifted right back where it belongs, back on the negative person, which is empowering. My publicist has been back on track, feeling happy, and realizing, yeah, I'm not them. That's my best revenge.
Right.
You know, there's one caveat to all of this, is that one thing we like to do here is really try to understand it from both sides. This is the flip side. An all-heart business must ask, is there anything we did as a company to provoke a negative energy? Like, was something not said right? Did we answer the phones wrong? Did we have something going on? We want to know. We want to know, is there any responsibility on our end? Or, you know, there's negative clients. We know that. But also, now let's look at our own business model. Is there anything in our business model that, one, attracts a negative client, but also we may have made a mistake? Because remember, our clients are the source of our success. We give them what they want. They give us what they need. So feedback is critical. Feedback is critical. You know, we need to be able to view feedback as a way to grow our businesses. All right, so the discussion on negative clients is important, but also to say, is there anything we've done as a company to create this negative situation? Take responsibility for it and change it. Because remember, feedback is a positive thing, even if it's negative. It really, really is. And then you have to look at the negative response and say, was there anything that we've done? If there is, then immediately put the process in place to change it. So one thing about negative employees, this is really critical. Everybody hires them by accident because, guess what? Owners of companies, we're entrepreneurs. We're the type of people who are that alpha male. We're leaders. We really, really, we believe in people. We see potential. All business owners on the phone know what I'm talking about. I'll see a person and I'll see what they can do. I can't see what they can't do. I'm a great seer of potential. That's what PR is, great seer of potential for segments, for clients, for possibility. Negative employees just have to go because they're going to ruin your all-heart atmosphere. And all-heart employees, very nice to clients. They're pleasant, creative, thankful. They smile. They have talent. They don't make the same mistake over and over again, as this leads to, again, a negative environment in the atmosphere. They're trying to learn. They're trying to do it right. They respect your request. They don't push back. They understand processes and the needs to deliver their end of the bargain, and they really do understand the whole mission statement of the business, and they do not have an entitlement syndrome. All right, meaning they are there all day to get what they can from you, but give as little back. Now, we have a great example of an automatic, we call it, of an entitlement syndrome. What do we call it, Stace?
The automatic deposit.
Syndrome.
Give me my money.
It's so funny. It's called, well, they just must be on automatic deposit. And it cracks us up because we coined the phrase here in the office, and this is what it means. An example of this is this. One day, one of my publicists showed up at a new post office, not the one we usually use because we're in great, great terms on our normal post office, but a new one. And just before closing time, I mean, my God, it was like maybe, what, 15 minutes before closing time? Yeah, she's shaking her head. And she had the packages. We are in business. We deserve to use the post office. We had postage on our packages, and they had to do nothing else but receive our mail. They didn't have to weigh it, stamp it, process it, nothing. Do you know what she said? She said, come back tomorrow as I am almost off the clock. And then she said, I have to get off the clock. So this actually happened, and can you imagine a greater sense of entitlement than that? And then we said, well, they must be on automatic deposit, meaning they get their paycheck regardless of whether or not they deliver their job requirements, regardless of whether or not they deliver the outcome, regardless of whether or not they are an asset to the overall business as a whole. In the case of the post office above, the only one hurt. Now think about this. Who gets hurt when you have a bad employee, an employee with a sense of entitlement?
The client and also the employer.
Yeah, and the post office has a monopoly on the mail, so we're
well,
still stuck here.
Yeah,
but in this case,
that,
the post office, the real, real person hurt is the publicist, me, really, and of course our client. We couldn't get our books out that day. But will that employee get fired? Absolutely not. They'll get away with the negative behavior. Will we ever use that particular post office again? Never. But whenever I go into our regular post office, the employees at the post office say, are you Annie Jennings PR? And, oh, I have a funny story. Yesterday, they even wanted to pack our books for us.
Oh.
With a smile. So I said, yes. And every time I go in, and I go in occasionally, they say, are you Annie Jennings PR? And I say, yes. And they said, I want to tell you something. You have the most amazing employees in the world. And they mentioned, oh, that wonderful Austin who comes in here is always so nice and so professional. You have a really great staff. And you know what that makes them want to do? It makes them want to make sure our mail goes out perfectly same day, not sitting around the next day in the bin because they're too lazy, they're almost off the clock, come back tomorrow. And yesterday, Helen told me she brought in something to package. We didn't have a box. He packaged it for her. And I couldn't believe it. The other people wouldn't. And it was closing time. So the other person would never do that. They said, come back tomorrow and get your own box.
You know, this is really like a true renaissance teleseminar, I feel. You know,
though
it's new, it's so old. The idea of good customer service, of giving without any expectation of receiving, you know. I mean, it really,
right.
really does get back to the root
mm-hmm.
of being a good human being.
Yes, and so just remember this, no, your client, your business does not need a bad attitude. The
right.
minute you see it in one of your employees, it must go out the door. You have to have a zero tolerance from the employees who has these characteristics. They hurt you in the end. Believe me, guess what? Once you see that they have a no-heart problem, that is, they have no heart, mm-hmm. you've got to let them go. Again, they're going to be fine. You know why? Hey, they're going to gravitate to a negative business where their attitude will fit right in.
There you go.
Most likely to your bad competitors who are negative.
Right.
I wanted to get to client feedback because that's really a key ingredient in all hard businesses. Your clients will tell you what you need to know about how to create products that deliver the outcome that they want and desire for themselves. Your job is to listen. And what do you listen for? The outcomes they want to have for themselves. Now, in our business, Stacey, you know, what are the most requested placements since Oprah?
Right.
And some clients will say, I just want to get on Oprah, that's it.
That's it.
Now we know, what does Oprah deliver? Amazing and excellent results for clients. Instant massive exposure, book sales, cloud, prestige, door opens, you know how important it is. But not everyone can get on Oprah. Even if they feel they're perfect for the show may not be going in their direction. Remember, these major shows know exactly what their audience wants and will watch to make sure that that they develop shows that the audience is actually going to watch on TV. It's their ratings depend on it. Their future depends on it. They must be an all-heart TV show, right? It may not be what the author thinks they should want, but again, we have no control over that, and neither does the author. But think about it. Oprah is an all-heart business because they know who their audience is, and they know what they want to watch, and they deliver the outcome year after year. Every one of the shows that has not understood who's watching and why, they go out of business. If the ratings decline, the viewers are not getting what they want from the show, right? There's no deliverable for the viewer, and so what happens? The ratings decline, the show goes off the air, the business goes bust. So what are the clients who come to us really saying when they say they want Oprah? Well, they want what Oprah can bring to them. They want the exposure, the ability to share their message with millions, the excitement of being part of something big, the ability to promote their book, the feeling they are making a difference. And if they can't have Oprah, based on my experience, because unfortunately Oprah knows exactly what they want, and if you wait in line for Oprah forever, you may never get it, they want Oprah-like outcomes, right? So I know that. So what we've developed, and what you can develop in your business too, is outcomes that provide the client with what they would like to achieve, right? So we work with the media. It's like playing the match game for us. They're looking for the perfect expert. We want to match the perfect expert to the perfect media outlet for the expert that, once again, delivers the implied outcome that they are paying for. So people want Oprah, but they really want the success that Oprah stands for. So how can they get that? Given who they are, given their credentials, given their topics, given the news, given all these factors, where can we get them? What media outlets are willing to book this expert that achieve those outcomes for them? And that's how we develop a media campaign. Do you see how it's all interconnected? It's all heart because it just involves the hearts of everyone involved.
Mm-hmm. Because it's the beating. It's the beating, right? Mm-hmm. It's the one organ that keeps everything going.
Everything going. And if we're all connected, mm-hmm. it's a good thing. So working in your passion is really important. I think for an all-heart business, it's really essential. Stacey, do you want to talk about what it's like to love what you do every day?
Sure. Okay, so I will bring a little personal experience into this just quickly in that I did do some other business away from PR, and I'll tell you what, you think you like something, you think you want to try something new, and then you realize truly what you are passionate about. I came back and now with Annie Jennings again, and I'll tell you what, every morning I do wake up and I'm just thanking myself, thanking the Lord, thanking the skies above that I can be happy to go to work. Mm-hmm. And when you're happy to go to work, you're not working.
No,
you're not working. You love what you do so much. You can mm-hmm. do it all day, every day, for the next 40 years. Feel like each day is new. It's mm-hmm. going to be even better than the day before. And you know what? Because you feel that way, that's what you do. You make it better.
That's
you
right.
make it
and,
better.
And all our business is an adventure. It's mm-hmm. action. It's about creating. It's about fun. Now, does that sound like a tough standard? Absolutely. It is the toughest standard. It really is to live up to. But here is the key ingredient here. If you're not feeling this way about your business, you can never, ever have an all-heart business, because an all-heart business comes from the heart.
Yeah.
And it's suggesting it's probably time to change, to look again at what you really want to do with your life and change. If you love what you do, you can be successful beyond your wildest dreams. Why? You're so engaged in what you do that you will instinctively create, and this is critical because we've created so much for this industry, you will instinctively create new and powerful products, new systems, new and updated and more meaningful services for your clients. These ideas will simply come naturally to you. Why? Because you want what's best for your clients. And if they need these new systems, this new technology, this new strategy to be successful, you're going to create it for them. It's going to be natural. It's going to be part of your heart. It's going to happen for them. So here's another principle about in running an all-heart business. You must stay in the action. The visionary who created the business in the first place must stay in the action every day. That's where the innovation comes in. The visionary who leads an all-heart business must be on the front lines each and every day. They can't retreat to the consulting corner of the office somewhere in an office way back there. You need to see the marketplace in action. You need to see the energy flow. You need to hear the people calling in. You need to hear your publicist engaging with the clients. You need to hear what the media wants. You identify emerging trends and the needs of your industry. As Stacy did in her intro today, every new technology that's being used in the PR industry today has come through being in the action, staying on the cutting edge of PR. We've created all these PR technologies, such as online media kits. Simple, right? Well, we needed it. Why do we need it? We had to send something to the media to get our client booked. Media websites, critical. Branding principles, important to the client. What do you do with the PR when you get it? Expert status. How do I turn expert status into millions of dollars? We started to develop these products, teleseminars, and supplementary value-added processes that would allow them to learn a lot more about the business, and then we created the actual strategy to get them booked. We needed these tools to deliver the outcome to our client. We needed to be faster, stronger, smarter, more creative than any other publicist in this country in the world. We needed our clients to get booked before any other expert or book author. We needed better tools. Rather than risk sending a video demo overnight, we wanted one on the client's site, instant. Well, what happened? That was the birth of the media website, the online media kit. Rather than sending a media kit overnight, we wanted a media website that had all the elements the media needed to see the book right there on the spot, to see the video right there on the spot, and to get our clients booked right there on the spot. Okay, so while we're booking you right there on your spot, guess what's happening? Your competitor's stuff is still in the mail, which I like that thought.
Right.
So did we hoard the information to ourselves? No. Even though we long ago discovered pitching tips, voicemail tips, segment-style press release tips, how to get booked on the media, media training tips, we developed it all here. Did we hoard the info? Absolutely not. You know why? Because an all-heart business shares and has no fear of the competition at all. Because an all-heart business wants a much bigger outcome for the entire business, for the betterment of all. They want to see a business go to all new levels of success as a whole. All right, and with that said, it kind of wraps it up, Stace, on some of the principles of an all-heart business. So just to get out there, do what you love, and do it well.
And kill them with kindness.
One
of my favorite sayings, because I just think it's so funny. Killing with kindness is just a really funny saying to me. Yeah. Oh, your hair looks so great, and you look good, and that. Shut up! Anyway, that's my own little tangents I like to go off on.
Why would you see anybody's hair? You're on the phone.
What?
You're on the phone.
I know, but I'm just throwing it out there.
When you're
everyone has
the
nice hair. How do you know I'm not talking to you?
Well, have you seen my hair lately?
Yes.
It looks great, actually.
And remember, we don't need to see. I already know.
Yeah, see,
but
the other
the same person.
So, yeah, I think it looks good like that, too. All right. Well,
they're wonderful.
That's wonderful. She's an all-heart employee. So it's really important to develop a destiny formula for energy, income, and success. A destiny formula, by the way, in closing here, it's what you really want to be known for. It reflects your personal values, the essence of who you are. If your life and your business is aligned with the essence of who you are on the inside, you create the potential for each day to become a powerful stream of income for you. Work will seem like play, million-dollar ideas will come to you, and you will be living with eager anticipation of what the next day will bring. I used to be upset it was Friday at 5. Most people can't wait. Friday 5. Oh my God, where are we gonna go? What are we gonna do? I used to think Friday at 5.
I need to do stuff.
I need a book.
Right. Yeah.
So it's important to understand, how do you really get to your source of your essence? It's the source of endless supply of energy, and it's the fuel for your life. While you're performing in your essence, you know it. You experience an endless supply of ideas, energy, excitement, and passion. I have to say, you're never bored as one exciting moment leads to the next. If there are people on the call who do not have this lifestyle, I strongly suggest you reflect or adapt or change your industry. And I want to tell you something. This is a great story for you now. PR wasn't always like this. When we started PR, we started with the traditional business model because why not? Everyone else was doing the business model, so we did the business model, retainer-based PR. I didn't have an all-heart business then. Although I was a great person and loved what I was doing, there was a missing ingredient. There was not the mutual respect. We did not have we did not have the relationship, the fair exchange of value. All right, retainer-based PR set you up for what have you done for me lately. Yesterday was Oprah, but what have you done for me for lately? That didn't sit right with me. I stood up and I said, you know what, firm? They all looked at me. They couldn't imagine what was going to come next. You remember this, Stace, right?
Yeah.
I said, we're never, ever going to take another client again on a retainer-based business, and I don't care if we go out of business. Why? I wasn't running an all-heart business. It wasn't fun. I looked at the day like, oh, I wonder if so-and-so's going to call and say, just because she got the Today Show yesterday means I have to get her on Oprah today and tomorrow.
Right.
It was just so much. I said, I'm not enjoying it. I love PR. So we have coaches. We have so many people on this line that this can apply to. We love what we do, but the model we're using is not right. It doesn't share. It doesn't have the concept of fair exchange of value and the respect that people deserve to be happy in their true chosen field. We also decided this. We also decided we were going to be the number one radio campaign in the entire industry, or bust, really. We quickly became the number one, and for 10 years I've held that position because no one can book a better campaign than we can. They can book it cheaper, they can book less shows, less high-quality shows, and they can offer you a cheaper campaign, but never a better campaign than Annie Jennings PR. Now, guess what? We're proud of our products. We're proud of every single thing we offer because it offers, it's smart. It offers a deliverable that can serve the client and help them achieve their goals and dreams, which are to share their messages usually with millions, that what does it all lead back to? For the betterment of all, which is the mission statement that drives our business.
Ta-da!
Full circle. It just goes full circle.
Right.
All right. So people may want to listen to this again. Understand it starts with your mission statement. It starts with understanding the principles. It goes on to weeding out the principles that are not useful to you because they don't go with an all-heart business. And then truly developing an all-heart business where you sell only what you can deliver. And what you deliver delivers the outcome, delivers a drivable vehicle. Put it that way.
Right.
Understand that can get the client where they need to go. And there you go. That's the essence of an all-heart business, and I guarantee you, you will be more successful than you've ever dreamed because people will talk, they'll just send everyone they know to you because they know, trust, love you, and they know you can deliver the outcome. And that's just a beautiful thing. Hopefully, we can reach so many businesses and have everyone, you know, achieving along these goals. But meanwhile, you have the major, major edge on your competitors because many of them are still hiring negative employees, employing negative principles in their business, have no clue what client feedback looks like or feels like, doesn't know what to do with it when they get it, and they're still operating under very old-fashioned business models. So there you go. Now we're next level, cutting edge, all heart, and I guarantee you will be successful. Well, Stacey, with that said, Annie Jennings PR is here for you.
Yes, and you can also check out a bunch of other teleseminars that are downloadable. As is this one will be shortly, correct?
Sure.
Yes, shortly,
it's going to be up.
Yep, on www.anniejenningspr.com/publicitypro.htm.
Terrific, and you're going to find that loaded up with maybe a dozen or more teleseminars just like this one. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And just play them in the background. Learn them. Learn, you know, just play them in the background. They're all downloadable to your podcast, and just listen to them. You know, take what you need, and just some things will resonate with you, and others may not. But if you're just playing them in the background, you know, you play stuff in the background, and you like get it. Yeah, just do that. Play in the background. You'll walk away with so much knowledge that will really help you become really, really strong at everything that you do. Because we hold nothing back. We know it, you get it, and we're on the front lines every single day of PR. And we're just out there. We know what the media wants. And we're happy to share it with you.
Right.
So with that said, thank you.
We gotta go book some more stuff.
Exactly.
We gotta go.
We're gonna go book about 10 experts on national TV. We're working on a project.
Okay.
All right, everyone. We're gonna see you next week. We have another great teleseminar coming up called $1 Billion Platform Building Strategies.
Woo-hoo.
Don't miss it.
All right. Good. We'll see you next week. Right.
Oh yeah. We'll see you next week. Okay.
Bye-bye, all. Okay.